You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
So, welcome on the last Sunday of Advent, the last Sunday before Christmas. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of these characters in the Christmas story, right? As we find them in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. And all of these characters were searching in some way, all having a longing and hope in their heart for redemption, for salvation, for a better life, for a savior. And so we've been looking at Herod, we've been looking at the Magi, we've been looking at Anna and Simeon in the temple, and today we're going to look at the shepherds who were the first to witness the birth of Christ, the shepherds who were just going about their business, and then an angel shows up and tells them that a savior has been born, the long-awaited Messiah. And then they go on a search, they go and investigate, see if what the angel had told them is true. Now, we only find this story in the Gospel of Luke. And like I said, they're the first recorded witnesses of the birth of Christ. It's a remarkable story, actually. Before we dive in, let's pray first. Dear Lord Jesus, in this season where we remember your coming to earth, we come to you. As we open your word, we remember that you are the word, that you were from the beginning, that you entered time to dwell among us, to live the life that we should have lived, and to die the death that we should die. And we remember that you are called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Lord, we recognize that we are in desperate need of a Savior. We recognize we live in a fallen world with so much hurt and wars and violence. And we recognize that we are part of the problem. We also hurt others. We are also in need and in search. Well, now you might think, nice, all these Christmas stories, right? The Magi, the shepherds, you know, it's part of our tradition. We put them on our Christmas cards. We display them in little stalls under our Christmas trees. But how do we know that these stories actually happened? Now, today, we don't have time to completely dive into the reliability of the Bible. But just the fact that this story is included gives us a hint that it might actually have happened. Let me explain. Sometimes when we question the reliability of the Bible, and especially the reliability of the Gospels, people say something like, well, the Gospels were written by his disciples, right? With the main aim to convince people to join their new religion, to join their movement, to join their club. How can we then trust what they've written? If the main aim was to make a case for themselves, how can we trust the facts that they present? Well, let's read the first few verses of Luke. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught. So Luke claims here that he has carefully investigated and then wrote down everything that he discovered, so that we may know as well, with certainty, it says. And you know what? I think if his main aim was just to try a convince to write a convincing story so that people would join his movement, then he would probably not have included the shepherds. If you want to convince people that a savior has been born, a new king, the long-awaited Messiah, if you want to establish a new religion and you want people to start following you, how are you going to tell the story? How do you make your story convincing? Well, you need to have some people in your story that make your story believable, right? Some influences, some people that, you know, of whom you are going to say, well, if they say it, it must be true. Some high-profile people. But here we see that the first people that witness the birth of Christ are shepherds. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with shepherds. But if you want your story to be believable, why include them? You didn't need an education to become a shepherd. There wasn't the best and brightest that were employed in this profession. When a family owned sheep, the job to look after the sheep fell to the youngest son. You know, it was the last job to be handed out. Oh, you go look after the sheep. And we see that in the story of King David, right? He was the youngest. He was out in the pastures tending the sheep. His brothers made fun of him when he was visiting them in the army. Say, you go back to your sheep. Leave the fighting to us. Shepherding was not a job with high esteem. Jesus himself called himself the good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, not the shepherd, no, the good shepherd. Meaning that there must have been a lot of shepherds around that weren't so good, right? In fact, some ancient sources say that the testimony of shepherds was not allowed in the court of law, as they were considered unreliable, not able to give an accurate account. Shepherds were probably at the bottom of the social ladder. Yet Luke presents them here as eyewitnesses. That tells me that I can rely on this account. He's not making the story prettier just to convince us. He tells us like he's heard it. We can rely on this story. There are witnesses in there that are harder to take serious, right? He would have done better to leave them out. So let's read the story. Let's read what's happening. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds out living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we know the story, right? Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem for a census that was ordered by Emperor Augustus, a man who called himself the Son of God. People around him called him the Savior of the world. A man who ordered the census from his palace, showing his might and his importance, shuffling people around in his empire so the census could take place. A man who thought that he single-handedly was rewriting history. And now, unwittingly, he's been used by God to indeed reorder history so that God's real son, the real savior of the world, would be born in Bethlehem, the town of David, as was predicted by the prophet Micah, in the same town where David used to tend his flocks. But not in a palace, in much humbler conditions. He was lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Now this baby is born, and his heavenly father is so happy, he just needs to tell somebody. He wants to let the world know. Now normally, when a baby is born, who do you tell first? When my kids were born, I called my parents. I called my parents-in-law. Then my close family and relatives. Who does God tell first here? Normally, you choose the people closest to you, right? Now it's the shepherds. What does that tell us about the shepherds? God wanted to tell somebody that his son was born. Who did he think of first? A bunch of shepherds, shepherds in the field. It tells us that God has a heart for the underdog. A heart for nobodies, for the poor, for the weak. Those at the bottom of the social ladder. Those he considers closest to his heart. He wants them to know first. He wants to tell them personally. If you are someone who regularly asks yourselves, who am I? Who am I? What do I have to give? Who am I? I have no influence. Who am I? I'm not rich and powerful. I don't have any answers to the problems of the world. Who am I? Remember, God thinks of you first. You are closest to his heart. Christ is born and he came for you. And he wants you to know it. Remember that God, right at the start of this story, identifies closely with those who are unimportant, who probably feel they have no significant influence on society, maybe not even significant influence in their own lives. And maybe that's how you feel. Know that God wants to seek you out. He wants you to hear the good news. You may not be important, feel important, not specifically well-learned or educated. Maybe you still got many, many, many questions regarding faith. Remember, you are close to God's heart. He wants you to know a Savior has been born, that there is hope for the world. God sent his own Son to bring peace. Now we read that the shepherds are out in the field. They're spending the night with the animals. That tells us that it must probably have been springtime. Because around winter, springtime, they would usually use the fields around Bethlehem for their flocks. Once the season progresses and the rains stopped and the fields grow thin, the pasture grew thin, they would take their flocks more up north into the mountains and find greener pasture there. But here we see they're around Bethlehem, so it must be around spring. And the sheep would, you know, graze on the new shoots or maybe on the stubble of the spring harvest. And they would watch their flocks during the day and maybe, you know, took turns watching over each other's flocks and take turns taking a nap or sleeping, because at night they needed to be awake and vigilant and watch out for predators who would get to the flock. And so they were just going about their business, doing what they were doing every day. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up. It wasn't to kings or high priests that this messenger was sent. But what better people God could have sent this messenger to? If you're high and mighty and people jump up and down at your command, you only have ear for your own voice, right? If you got your act together, you don't have need for Christ who is a Savior. If you are nicely lying comfortable in your bed, nice and warm, dreaming of your next vacation, you're not really likely to jump out of bed when you hear that something has been born in a colt's stable, right? God chose the ones who were most likely to hear and to give witness. And these guys were very much impressed. They wanted to see whom the angel talked about. I mean, this wasn't an ordinary event, was it? We read at first that this one angel shows up. And it might have been the archangel Gabriel, because we see him in the first chapter already show up twice. So it might have been him, this mighty, impressive angel. I can just imagine him with a booming voice just standing there, all impressive all by itself already. And then it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you just imagine that? His first words are, do not be afraid, do not fear. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Now imagine that the maker of the universe, the Almighty One, the one who has no beginning and no end, who created everything, mighty in his glory, absolutely pure, holy, in whose presence we cannot stand because we would just burn up, because anything impure would just burn up in his presence. Nothing impure can exist in his presence. These guys were terrified. Because in his presence, they would realize that they are impure. They would realize that they're not worthy. They would realize that they're actually in need of a savior, because otherwise they would die. And this angel says, do not be afraid, because a savior has been born to you. He's the Christ, the Lord. Because of this little boy, you can now stand in God's presence and not die. Do not fear. But the angel uses three words to refer to this little boy. The first one is Savior, which is a Hebrew word meaning rescuer. The second one is Christ, which is a Greek word meaning anointed one or chosen one. And then the Lord. And Greek-speaking Jews would use that word to refer to God himself. So Jesus was to be a rescuer, the anointed one, God himself, spoken of by the prophets long before his birth. People had been looking forward and awaiting his arrival for a long time. And now the angel comes and says, he's here. He has arrived. And we will hear the angel sing later. He's the bearer of peace. Peace between humankind and God. And that's indeed great news. And the angel proceeds to say, if you don't believe it yet, in case you're doubting, here's a sign, a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Now, what kind of sign is that? An ordinary baby lying in a manger. Imagine you would ask God for a sign. What would you ask for? Something more supernatural, right? Something out of the ordinary, something special. Now, when I have to think about asking God for a sign, I always have to think about the story of Gideon. When I was in Sunday school, I was so impressed by that story. You remember it? Gideon was one of the judges of Israel long before David, and he needed confirmation from God, and he needed a sign. And he said, God, I need a sign. And so he put a fleece outside during the night, and he said, Lord, if this fleece is wet in the morning from the dew, but the surrounding area is dry, then I know it's you. And of course, it happened like he asked. And he said, well, it could have been coincidence, right? Lord, let's do this again. I'll put the fleece out. And then if it's dry in the morning and the surrounding area is wet from the dew, then I know it's you. And then it happened that way. And then he knew it was the Lord. And as a little boy, I was so impressed by this. And me and my brother, we came up with all kinds of schemes to, you know, let's try this as well. But of course, the outcome was never as it was for Gideon. But, you know, if we want a sign, we want something special, right? Something that stands out. Even the Sadducees and the Pharisees asked Jesus in Luke 12, later in the story, show us a sign from heaven. They asked Jesus. something out of the ordinary. But here these shepherds, after seeing an angel, after being surrounded by God's glory, are told an unusual sleeping place. A baby born to two poor parents, not in a home, but in some temporary location, not even a decent room, not much of a sign, we might say. Yet as soon as this one angel tells the shepherds about this sign, there's this crescendo in the heavenlies. All of a sudden, he's joined by many more angels, and the heavenly skies are like filled with angels, all singing God's praise. Like in a movie when something significant happens, right? You hear the increase in the music. That's what it feels like here. The angels hear about this sign and they burst out in worship. Apparently, this ordinary arrival was so special and such a sign from God, such a sign of his wisdom and his love, that it warrants praise and worship. This Savior, Christ, God himself, doesn't come as we would expect. Not as a king would arrive, right? But vulnerable, without any bling, poor, witnessed by nobodies. And that is cause to praise God. Earlier in the story, Mary is told that God will give this baby boy the throne of David, King David, who used to be a humble shepherd. And he was called from the fields to be anointed as king. And now the shepherds are called from the fields to witness the birth of this king, who would later refer to himself as the Good Shepherd. The birth of this little boy is the beginning of a confrontation between the kingdom of God in all its apparent weakness, insignificance, and vulnerability, and the kingdoms of this world. Many have tried to bring peace by force, and all of them have failed. We all have witnessed many wars and violence. This Savior will bring peace in a different way. Although he is all-powerful, he will bring peace not by force, but by changing hearts. Changing the hearts of those who realize they fall short of God's glory. Realize that they are part of the problem. Realize that they are impure. Realize that they need help. Just like the shepherds realized that when they were surrounded by the Lord's glory, because they were afraid, they fell short of God's glory, and the angel said, do not be afraid. Christ has come, not by force, but in humility. Through him, peace is possible. Peace between God and mankind, peace on earth. Now that's something to praise God for. So they hurried off to find this Savior, this baby, to see for themselves. The search was on. They heard the good news, and they started to search and investigate to see if what the angel had told them was actually true. They left their sheep. They went to Bethlehem to find this baby. And so they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as they had been told, lying in a manger. They came empty-handed. They had no gifts to bring. Nothing was expected of them, just to see and believe. And that's how we are to approach Jesus, empty-handed. We've got nothing to bring. There's nothing to do. Just see and believe. You can just imagine them standing there, a bunch of rough shepherds, trying to assess if this baby boy was ever going to make a good shepherd himself. And I'm sure they have many questions. This boy doesn't look very special, but he's lying in a manger. That's a good start to build rapport with the animals. His parents are poor at the bottom of the social ladder, just like us, so that's a good start. That's good shepherding material. But we've been told that he is the Christ. How? All they saw was a baby in not very promising circumstances. Yet they believed the sign. They didn't have all the answers. They weren't learned and educated people. All they know is what they had been told and that it was like they had been told. They would find the baby in a manger. And so all they could do is believe. It was enough for them. They saw the sign. You know, many of us still have questions. We don't completely understand what God is up to. We don't see how all the problems in the world can be solved. We don't know our Bibles as we should. But we've seen enough evidence that God can be trusted. Enough evidence that God exists. Enough evidence that the Bible can be trusted. And we see that in this little boy, prophecies have been fulfilled. And so we can trust Jesus. We can trust that he is who he claims to be. We can trust his promise that he one day will return. And because we believe these signs, we have hope. Peace on earth seems far away, yet we trust it will happen. In the meantime, we try to live in such a way that God's Spirit will work in us and through us to bring peace and to live out peace in our relationships. You know what? The shepherds had nothing to bring, but maybe unaware to themselves, they did bring something. Without them even knowing it. As they came to see, they told Mary all that had happened to them and all that they had heard about this child. Up to that moment, Mary and Joseph had only shared this news with Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had been living with this secret. Beside them, nobody else was aware. And now, this child is born away from home, not even in a decent room, in kind of dire circumstances. A manger for this baby to lie in. And then these shepherds burst in the middle of the night, telling them all that had happened to them, telling them about the angel, telling them about the glory of God that shone around them, telling them about what the angel told them about this little boy, that he is the rescuer. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. This must have been such a joy and a confirmation to Mary and Joseph. This boy is indeed special. These strangers, shepherds from the fields, were told by God as well that this boy is special. She had not imagined it all. That they were embarking on a very special journey with this boy. So the shepherds, they saw Jesus just like the angel told them. Now what did they do? This rough bunch of shepherds, they started worshiping God. And they went back to their sheep. And on their way, they told everybody what had happened to them, what they had seen, what they had experienced, what they had heard. They were the first evangelists. Just a bunch of shepherds at the bottom of the social ladder. And they still were just a bunch of shepherds at the bottom of the social ladder. They still had a job to do, sheep together and protect. Not much seemed to have changed, but they were changed. And so we as well, as we believe what God has promised us, when we believe what we've been told, that a Savior has been born, we return to our places of work. We return to our families. We return to our friendships. And we tell them what we've learned. We don't have all the answers, but we know what we've seen. We know what we've experienced. We can testify about God's goodness in our lives. And we can tell them about another promise Jesus made, that one day he will return. The good shepherd will return and put all things right. A day when we will finally see peace on earth. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.